Well, hello, quantum engineers, and welcome to Becoming Quantum, the Metaphysics of Miracles, Module 2. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're having a great week. I hope you had the opportunity to dive into the guided meditation that I provided for you this weekend after the coaching call, and that you've had some time to practice and to go in and review the work that we did in Module 1. As I said at the beginning, this is sort of a foundational understanding of the Becoming Quantum process. And so it will serve you well to take some time with all of the concepts and the principles that we work through and practice here, and to really become familiar with it all. So welcome to Module 2. This is Metaphysics, Collapsing Time, Shaping Space, and Overcoming Ourselves. And in this module, we begin to work deliberately with the quantum field of potential. We begin to collapse time and space to continue to dissolve our past limitations and reshape our consciousness to one of quantum strength, power, and clarity. And with this metaphysical adjustment, our reality starts to respond to our new quantum level of consciousness. So as we said in Module 1, we recognize and we really start to deepen our understanding that consciousness shapes reality, inner world shapes outer world, and that's really where we are doing our work. So as a reminder of what we covered in Module 1, a review, that we have the three steps to becoming quantum, where we move into phase with the quantum, and that we generate through our process of generating quantum thanks. And then step two is releasing all that is not quantum, and that part of it is involved in giving forward all of the limitations and conditions of self that keep us rooted in the 3D world. And then step three is affirm all that is quantum. And that's what we are going to cover today. In this module, we're going to continue to deepen steps one and step two, and we are going to start to activate step three. We're going to warm up step three in this module, and then we'll deepen it in the coaching call coming up on Saturday. But first, before we do that, this image is a really powerful one, and it suits our needs. And it really, when I found it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's just so perfect about, it describes the quantum model of consciousness perfectly, especially as it relates to our ideas of self, soul, and source. So this image holds the key to our work, and we're going to dismantle this image profoundly in this module. So what that image does is it takes the symbol that we worked on last week, the symbol that describes you as self, soul, and source, self being at the bottom, soul being in the middle, source energy being at the top, and how they're all connected. But you see how they're separate in this symbol. They're separate but connected. What that diagram, that image that is our title image, it's going to take this symbol to the quantum level. And where it starts is with this empty black screen. This is where it all begins. It begins in the nothingness, the nothing that is everything. In metaphysics, in mysticism, in any esoteric practice, this is where it all begins. This is what we call, as metaphysicians, as quantum engineers, we call it the void. It is the source of everything, the source mind, if you will. It is God, it is the divine, it is the Father. You can call it whatever you want. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but this void, the source of everything, is where we find ourselves. It is everything that sources, that is rooted in nothing. It is the nothing that produces everything. It is timeless. It is spaceless. It is infinite. It has never been born. It will never die. It allows everything to emerge out of it, and then eventually it will suck everything back in. Essentially what it is this void holds everything that is physical together. It is built out of electromagnetism, gravity, strong force, and weak force, if we're going to talk really scientific. But this is the vast creative field of energy and information that we start our work in. And I've defined source, or the void. Source emerges out of the void. The void I don't want to get too complicated or too involved here, but essentially the void is what the Big Bang popped out of. And in order to give the void a definition of space so that it has context, you see the circle of source energy here. So the void and source are the same thing, but essentially what I've done is I've just defined source. I've given it a context here to give it space so that we can see how we take shape within this energetic field. So we've got the circle of source energy carried within the void of everything and nothing. Source energy generates an impulse, a spark, if you will, that creates soul. And then soul creates a spark, if you will, an impulse that generates self. So you see how this diagram is a little bit different than our initial diagram of self, soul, and source, in that in this diagram, all three are contained within the field of everything. So source energy has an impulse, creates a spark that generates soul. Soul has and creates an impulse that generates a spark that creates self, and that is you in your 3D skin suit. So you see how all of these parts of you are a complete integration. Self is contained in soul, which is contained in source, which has a position in the creative void of everything, right? So there is no separation in anything. It's all a complete integration. So the greater reality, when we're talking quantum, a lot of people will say that we as human beings have a soul. But the greater truth is we as souls have a body, not body that has a soul, but rather a soul that possesses or contains a body. Our body is contained within our soul. Our body is contained within our soul. Our soul does not have a body. Our body does not have a soul. Our soul has a body, right? So you see how this is the complete integration of where we're working from. As we're discovering our position in the quantum, we recognized last week, we talked about that the 3D world conditions the self. It shapes self. The outer conditions of the world shape who we are. When we're born, when we're first born, we are unconditioned. When we first show up as babies with no conditioning, no ideas about anything, no belief systems, no experiences, we come super, super fresh into the world. This is how we look. There is a self because we are a physical body, but there's no conditioning around it. Eventually, over time, self becomes conditioned. Self starts to become different than soul and source. As you can see here, that self becomes, it's no longer white in its nature with the, you know, with being similar and integrated with soul and source. It becomes different. It becomes conditioned. And what you also notice is that the line around self starts to become very, very thick. That quantum boundary gets conditions a greater density, a greater obstacle, a greater separation between soul and source, a greater separation, a greater limitation, less access to the quantum field. So the 3D world and all of its circumstances conditions us in this way. So self becomes separate from soul and source, and a very profound boundary is developed. This 3D nature, this 3D conditioning, generates a really profound forgetfulness, and it deepens the illusion of separation, which makes the ability for us to deliberately engage with the quantum soul source really, really difficult if we don't know what we're doing. And even when we do know what we're doing, it can be challenging. And this is what we're working on as we're navigating the beyond quantum or becoming quantum process. But if this illusion of separation, this forgetfulness, and this thickening of the quantum boundary can make engaging with the quantum become miracle prone really hard, if not impossible. This forgetfulness, this conditioning of the self, is the original error, the false belief, the forgetfulness that says, I am separate from soul and source. This is the original error. This is original sin. You hear about it in the Bible. They talk about it all the time, that original sin, that we're born impure and we're born evil and we're born imperfect and all this other horse hooey. What the original sin is the original error. Remember that the definition of sin means to miss the mark, to miss the target. The original sin is, the original error is, our forgetfulness of our position in this diagram of soul and source. That's the original error. And so as quantum engineers, when we understand this diagram really, really profoundly, that we as 3D body skin suits, as individual people, that we are in the quantum mind, and therefore we can't be separate from it. So this is a very, very, very important diagram to remember. A lot of people feel that God has abandoned them, that the universe is not on their side, that they have no connection with divine intelligence, that they have no connection to the quantum field. The reality of it is we're swimming in it. We are literally at the heart of all of that information. We can't be separate from it. But what deepens the illusion and makes this that quantum boundary, that line around self so dense, is the false belief, the error, that we are separate and not connected. So as quantum engineers, we're very profoundly aware of this diagram. But as we become profoundly aware of this diagram and the position, that conditioning, the conditions are our beliefs, our traumas, our limitations, our judgments, all of those conditionings, remember, that we talked about in module one. When we understand this diagram and we understand the levels of conditioning, this quantum boundary starts to become less rigid. It becomes less dense. When we're unaware of the relationship, it looks like this. When we start to become aware of the relationship, the boundary starts to grow less rigid, and there's more space through which soul, source energy, can move, and there's more, the self becomes more permeable, like the membrane of a cell wall, that with this spaciousness, with these openings in self, with the softening of conditioning of self, we have greater access. Self can reach out to soul. Soul can pour into self. And a new relationship with the quantum starts to happen. And so as we forgive our conditioning as we start to give those things forward, there's more space within self. The boundary continues to dissolve, giving us greater access to the quantum. So I want you to look at this so you see how this changes. It goes from this level of density as we start to remember our position here, and as we start to forgive, give forward our conditioning, this boundary starts to dissolve. And as the boundary starts to dissolve, we develop greater access to the quantum. And as we do this, the declaration that we make is the quantum and I are one. If we look at this diagram, that's you in the middle of this diagram. You see how you aren't separate from soul. You aren't separate from source. You are it. It is you, the quantum, and you are one. And so the declaration becomes the quantum and I are one. The Father and I are one. Again, you can call it whatever you like. If you prefer to use quantum because the Father feels weird, if you prefer to use divine mind as opposed to either of those things, that's fine. But this starts to become the declaration. It starts to become your new model of consciousness. And as this becomes more true for you, then that original error of separation is forgiven, is given forward. It starts to dissolve. And as that error starts to dissolve, this is where we call quantum forgiveness. We talked last week about general forgiveness, giving forward of limitation, but this is a quantum forgiveness where we say, as a part of our giving forward, a part of our unconditioning ourselves, we say, I release my erroneous belief that I am separate from the quantum mind. I surrender this belief to be forgiven. And so what we do as we add this declaration to our quantum forgiveness meditation. So this quantum forgiveness, I release my erroneous belief that I am separate from the quantum mind. And I surrender it so that this belief, that this condition, that this error be dissolved. Okay. And so this is a very powerful part of our quantum process. What we were working on in module one were general conditions, general belief structures, general judgments, general attitudes. This one is the biggie. This one is the biggie, the erroneous belief that I am separate. This is a big deal. This is the original error, the original condition. And so this one is really super, super important. And so as you do that, notice how, if you notice this, the circle around self now is almost completely dissolved. And so as you declare this quantum forgiveness, as you get familiar with this releasing of the erroneous belief, surrendering it to your higher mind, I want you to be curious, start to be curious about what that might mean for you. Notice what you notice as you make this declaration. Notice what you start to feel as you make this declaration. Notice if any resistances come up as you make this declaration. But as you do make this declaration, notice how that quantum boundary now that was around self is almost completely gone. And as you practice this, then what you notice now is self has now returned back to its similar nature in the relationship between self, soul, and source. It's no longer distinctly different from any of these elements. It is more aligned with it, more similar to it. Its traits are now more aligned and alike and in phase with soul and source. And the physical limitation, the boundary around it, is almost completely gone. So as we add this quantum forgiveness part to our work, self becomes more and more unconditioned. There are no more limits of mind. there is direct engagement with the quantum field. And this is miracle consciousness. This is the metaphysics. This is the place where miracles then start to happen, because all of that conditioning has been dissolved. And the original condition, the original error that I am separate from the divine mind has been transformed, has been forgiven. And when you come from this position, when this starts to become your identity, then that idea of unconditional love that you hear so many people in the spiritual New Age talking about becomes a reality. That feeling isn't something that is generated from self as an emotion that you have to stir up. No. Unconditional love is the feeling that is generated when your mind, when your consciousness is unconditioned. It's not something that is generated from the inside, from the personality. It's something that is revealed as conditions are evaporated. And this is the position of miracle consciousness. So as that happens, miracles start to become more and more obvious and more apparent as the conditioned line around self completely dissolves. So miracles happen in consciousness first. And as we do this work, the structure of the 3D mind is softly, gently, gradually broken open and then dissolved. And that's when stuff really starts to happen. That's when the clear, pure quantum mind becomes available. You become less you as your personality in your skin suit, and you become more like the quantum mind. And as self becomes freed up, then the ability for self to start to shape, direct, move, materialize energy, like the electrons swirling around this image of the atom, then that's how we start to take shape within the quantum field. Our thoughts, our words, our actions all become aligned, and time and space starts to collapse around us based on who we are being energetically, because we become the quantum mind. And as we become the quantum mind, then truth, abundance, beauty, creativity, love, and life force, life power starts to become our reality. We become the thing of miracles, and the miracles show up in a transformation in our money, a transformation in our ability to create in the 3D world, a transformation in our ability to perceive beauty, a transformation in our ability to truly, deeply, unconditionally love, because that's just who we are. And then truth about our authentic spiritual nature becomes how we occupy space in the 3D world, and the life force literally exudes out of us, right? So this is the structure that I really want you to start to become familiar with. And this, our ability to move from limited identity, that identity of self that had that big thick circle around it, into limitless identity is the challenging part of the process. Because again, as I spoke in the coaching call, the 3D world is quite relentless and quite a persistent illusion, as Albert Einstein once said, that we have to be really deliberate. We have to exercise a lot of determination, a lot of commitment, and a lot of will, that when circumstances in the 3D world step forward to challenge us, that we are able to really deeply remember this position. Okay, so the tough part in this practice is going to be remembering your position in the equation, that you and the quantum mind, you and the Father, you and the creative mind, you and the divine mind, whatever you want to call it, are one. And continually reminding yourself of that as you are navigating the 3D world. So that part of the equation is going to be the most challenging, but that part of the equation is going to be what reaps the greatest rewards for you. That breaking apart, that dissolving of self, that remembering of your engagement, that dissolving of the originating error is what ultimately reaps the greatest rewards. Right? Because once illusion of separation becomes dismantled, that's when you become really miracle prone. So that's where the greatest rewards are, but it's going to be the toughest part of the equation. So just be prepared. I'm not saying that to talk you out of it. I'm just saying be prepared that that's going to be the tough part. And it's especially tough if you haven't had anybody remind you, if you haven't had anybody show you the ropes here. But because I've shown you the ropes, it will be challenging, but at least you understand what the concepts are, what the principles are here, okay? So as your true level of mind, as you dissolve that quantum boundary, as your true level of mind starts to emerge, it interacts with the quantum field. That quantum field starts to respond to your thoughts, to your ideas. Your ideas and its ideas become the same. There is no longer any distinction between you and it. So the desires that you have to shape visions are the same desires that the quantum mind has to create new realities. So as your level of mind merges with the quantum field to generate new outcomes, that will become more and more powerful, more and more evident, while you start to notice you have a thought and it shows up within moments, if not days, and it starts to generate a greater momentum. And this this impulse, this image that you see here of you, I wish that I could animate that picture of you being the center point of the atoms and the electrons spinning around it, because when this level of energy starts to become amplified, it starts to generate spin that not only is the energetic field around you spinning, but the quantum field also starts to spin. And as energetic fields start to spin, they generate gravity. And as gravity is generated, that's what starts to collapse matter. As gravity is generated, as electromagnetic fields are generated, that's what starts to collapse consciousness into physical stuff. So it becomes a little sciencey, but what I want you to understand is as this gets clearer and as this gets more powerful, it starts to generate your quantum identity and your thoughts and your intentions and the things that you want to shape starts to generate a gravitational field that collapses time and space and generates matter in the void, in that big empty black space. It starts to create stuff. So if you remember our diagram where I said soul has an impulse and it creates, or sorry, Back up. Remember I said source has an impulse. It creates a spark that creates soul. Soul has an impulse that creates a spark and it creates self. Self has an impulse. It creates a spark that creates your visions, your miracles, the things you want to shape. So again, all of those things are contained within themselves. Source sparks soul. Soul sparks self. Self sparks creations in your reality. And so that's your position in this equation as you start to clear out, remove conditioning. That's what gives you the power to start to shape miracles in your own 3D world. But the miracles happen in consciousness first. Okay, super, super, super important. This is why we as quantum engineers, we absolutely never, ever, ever again say, I want to attract something, because that would mean that we're thinking it's coming from outside of us. And we know as quantum engineers that that simply is not accurate. So miracles happen in consciousness first. So we have to be willing to let go of limited self-identity in order to claim your quantum identity. And that requires a lot of courage, because again, the ego gets in the way. It says, well, if I let go of self, then, you know, I'll lose the people I love, or I'll lose the things I love, or, you know, I'll the stuff that's important to me will disappear. That's not true. Just the conditioning that keeps you from experiencing a greater reality will disappear. And that which is true, and that which is beautiful, and that which is rooted in truth and order and harmony will remain. So miracles happen in consciousness first. And we've got to be willing to let go of self-identity and do that deliberately in order for us to be able to claim our quantum identity. So as we continue to clear away the limits of self, I invite you to ask yourself, what current I ams are you using to define yourself? I am sensitive. I hear this all the time in the New Age. I'm just so sensitive. I can't even go out in the world. It's just too much for me. I can't. I'm too sensitive. It's too much. I just can't. Okay. If that's an identification, well, then when you step into the quantum and the energy of the quantum is so powerful, and trust me, it is, which is why we have to be able to warm up slowly. If you label yourself as sensitive, then when the full impact of the quantum starts to tap you on the shoulder and you're running the identity of I'm sensitive, then you're going to have a real problem with it. So you got to be able to let that go. Another I am is I'm struggling. I'm alone. I'm limited. I'm broken. I'm wounded. I'm not enough. I'm different. Whatever these definitions that you've given yourself, I want you to get really clear about them and continue to forgive them, give them forward. And those kind of definitions might also be, I don't deserve happiness. I don't deserve to be successful. Who am I to think I can have this much power? Who am I to think I could be this metaphysically strong? Who am I to have this much love? Who am I to be this powerful? Who am I to be this beautiful? Who am I to be this, you know, fill in the blank. So I want you to really spend some time with what these definitions are for you. And we've got layers and layers of ones that we know and a bunch of them that we don't, which is why we forgive it all. We forgive the ones deliberately that we do know, and we forgive the ones that we don't know as well. But chances are good that you know a good long list of them, and you can go through them and release them. And second to that, to continue to soften that quantum boundary around self, is what judgments of the world are you using to generate separation? Judgments like the world shouldn't be this way, or people shouldn't be this way, or my parents shouldn't have done such and such to me, or I shouldn't have done such and such to me or to them, or why did I do this? And I feel guilty, and I feel shameful, and I feel awful, and I feel bad, and I feel all of these things. And all of those judgments, the world shouldn't be this way, people shouldn't be this way, and I shouldn't be this way, those generate separation. So again, doing some quantum investigation of your own nature, discover these judgments that you carry, and continue to forgive them. And it becomes a part of our, again, our quantum forgiveness process, where we say, I forgive the world. I forgive people in the world, and I forgive myself. The world is the way that it is because it's a projection of 7 billion people's stuff onto the screen of reality. So the world is the way it is because 7 billion people are projecting their shenanigans onto the world. You are one of those 7 billion people. So the world is the way that it is because of these conditions. If everyone were unconditioned, the world would be a Garden of Eden. It would convert into its true nature. And there, again, we said this in Module 1, that we go out into nature, we see how the world truly is. Okay. And so if you start to let these judgments dissolve, if you give them forward, you can't be in service to the world and be in judgment of it at the same time. That generates the separation. Right? You can't, when we're working quantumly, if we resist anything, if we are at war with anything, whether it's the external world, our parents, people in the world, governments, or parts of ourselves, then we limit our access to the quantum field. So discover these judgments and continue to forgive them. Forgive the world, forgive the people in it, forgive yourself. Okay. And remember what forgive means. If we understand that the external world is a projection of consciousness, and that the only way we as individuals are going to be able to perceive what is true is to be able to clear away consciousness, then we let all of these people and the world and parents and ourselves off the hook, which again starts to punch holes in that quantum boundary around self. Okay. And so if you're able, I'll back up here. If you're able to forgive, give forward your definitions, your current definitions of self, and you're able to give forward your judgments about the world, you create a massive opening in that position of self, which puts us in a major position for the next step. So you see how all of that work of dissolving definitions, dissolving conditions, dissolving judgments opens the self, boundary of self, it opens up and it puts us in the position to be ready for the third step. So, right, first step is putting ourselves into phase with the quantum. Second step is clearing away all that is not quantum. Third step, which brings us here today, is affirming that which is quantum. Essentially, it is affirming the nature of the quantum mind, affirming the nature of the divine mind, affirming the nature of source energy. So the nature of the quantum mind is infinitely abundant. It is infinite, meaning it lacks nothing. Nothing can be added to the quantum mind. It is so abundant that you can't even add anything to it. Because if you could add something to it, then that would mean it wasn't infinite. It is constantly prospering, meaning because of its infinitely abundant nature, it's constantly spilling out stuff. Constantly spilling out stuff. New planets, new galaxies, new star systems, new human beings, new blades of grass, new animals, new bugs, new ideas, new levels of consciousness, constantly, endlessly expressing and prospering outward. It's like a fountain that is just constantly pouring stuff out. And so our scientists say that the universe is speeding up. It's expanding and it's getting faster exponentially as it grows. The nature of the quantum mind is timeless. It is complete. It is whole. It lacks nothing. It is creative. It is innovative. It's constantly producing new things. You know, new species of animals. It's so fascinating to me that the scientists are discovering, as concerned as everybody seems to be about species disappearing on the planet, It seems every day that scientists are discovering new species. And don't get me wrong, I love the animals, and I, you know, I want them to continue to thrive on our planet. But it's just fascinating to me that these new species of that they've never been discovered before are constantly being discovered. The quantum mind is constantly producing new stuff. It is beyond physical limits. It's not rooted in time or space. Time doesn't matter to it. Space doesn't matter to it. Physical constructs of the 3D world do not matter. Time is not a problem for the quantum mind. So if we get really familiar with these identity traits of the quantum mind, and we remember our quantum identity within that diagram of self, soul, and source, from our quantum identity where we say, I am the quantum mind, the Father and I are one, I'm smack dab right in the middle of that. And so if that's true, then that means that we are infinitely abundant. We are constantly prospering. We are endlessly expressing outward, giving in thought and energy and creation. We are timeless, whole, and complete. We are creative and innovative. We are beyond physical limits. We are not rooted in space or time. The truer, greater nature of who we are is all of these things. This is who we really are. This is the truth of our nature. And so this becomes our quantum identity. And so as we start to put these pieces of the puzzle together and we start to claim this here as our quantum identity, and we start to affirm it through quantum, what we would call quantum prayer, we affirm these things. In order for quantum prayer to be effective, we have to make these affirmations, these declarations, not from self, not from the part of us that forgets that we are one with the quantum mind, not from the part of us that is trapped in that circle of self with that really super thick quantum boundary around it. That won't work. It won't work. But we have to be able to make these affirmations from the amplified, clear level of the soul that has broken away, it exists at its complete level, and the power that resides at that level of being. And so when we make these declarations from the being in phase, from that field of energy of that quantum gratitude, and we have cleared away, we have forgiven as many of our conditions as possible, that's when quantum prayer works. And that's then when the word, the declarations, become flesh. They become real. They become true in the 3D world. We speak our reality into being. Our words and our thoughts, when they are generated from that level of being, again, generate a spin. They generate a momentum that has a gravity and electromagnetics to it that collapses time and space and creates stuff in the 3D world. Okay. And so when we are quantum praying, when we are positioning ourselves in quantum prayer, we're not begging for stuff. We're not saying, oh, dear God, please give this to me. Please bring me money. No, we're not doing that. We are declaring. We are affirming. We are speaking truth to power, literally speaking truth to power, not truth to power like they have it in the 3D world where, political activists are standing in front of Congress and screaming at the congressman. That's not speaking truth to power. because it's all rooted in the 3D world. There's no power there, and there's no truth in it either, right? This is truth to power. Quantum prayer is truth to power, where the word becomes flesh. We speak our reality into being from a position of quantum being. Okay. And so if we remember the principle of quantum engagement is, in order to become miracle prone, in order to manifest miracles, you have to speak from a position of wholeness. You have to speak from a position of power, because wholeness recognizes wholeness. The Father and I are one. Coherence recognizes coherence. Abundance recognizes abundance. The principle of as above, so below. The quantum mind and I are one. We have to be brave enough, clear enough, worthy enough to step into this position of power and claim that identity. And so we talked about this last week. The first affirmation of power is, I am one with the creative power of the universe. Its will and my will are one. And its wisdom guides my mind, my body, and spirit in all ways. Again, it's like Neo in the Matrix. Was it his mind? No, he was able to stop bullets. That's the quantum. So that's the first affirmation of power that we've got to be really rooted in. Okay. So we're going to do a quantum prayer, a warm-up. This is a warm-up that I want you to practice through this module, because we're going to do a quantum prayer guided meditation in our coaching call. And I will be providing you with a quantum prayer guided meditation audio prior to the coaching call. But it's important to do this work gently and slowly and build up to it, as it has a lot of power. And we don't want to overstimulate our system. We don't want to overstimulate our nervous system. We don't want to overstimulate all the circuitry, especially if we haven't done the work to dissolve the limits of self, because it will be painful. I remember, this was many, many, many years ago, that I can't even remember where I'd met this fellow, but he was doing some quantum prayer. And he hadn't asked me if I had done any, again, this was sort of right around the time where I had my own, instant healing. And he just started quantum praying, saying, I'm going to, you know, I'll help you. Actually, it was a while before I did my own quantum healing. And he didn't do any softening of self first. He just started to spew energy, and it physically hurt. I had to tell him to stop, because he clearly wasn't aware that old structures needed to be dissolved before any sort of quantum energy could occur. So this is really, really, really important as an issue of kindness and gentleness and energetic safety. We want to be able to build up gradually. So we have to be able to warm up the system before we plug it into the quantum grid. So before we go into the power of affirming, while we're in the quantum field, that's the power part of it, and we'll do that in the coaching call. What I want you to do, just like I did last week, is I want you to take a few days to practice affirming the quantum in a couple of ways. Number one, affirm it in your waking self, in your self-consciousness, while you're going about the day, repeating the I am statements through the day. And just as a reminder, let's go back here. We'll go back here. Sorry. These I am statements. I am infinitely abundant. I am constantly prospering. I am endlessly expressing. I am timeless. I am whole. I am complete. I am beyond physical limits. I am creative. I am innovative. I am not rooted in space or time. The Father and I are one. These are the declarations that I want you to practice just in your waking moments. And again, it's not as powerful when you're doing it through the self-identity, but we want to be able to gradually build our way up. Okay, so first way to start to do it is in your waking self-consciousness, repeat the I am statements to yourself throughout the day. And add them at the end of your quantum engagement, your forgiveness meditation. When that guided meditation that I gave you last week is 15 minutes. And just gently, when that guided meditation ends, just gently add those declarations. The Father and I are one. I am infinitely prospered. I am, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So this is how we start to warm up that circuitry. Okay. And in the forgiveness part of your guided meditation that I gave you, be sure to add, I forgive my forgetfulness and I release the error in thinking that I am separate from source or that I am separate from the quantum. Okay, so this is again another sort of power boost. Adding this part that I forgive the original error, the original sin of thinking that I'm separate from source, I release that. I forgive my forgetfulness. That's, again, that's an amplification of the forgiveness process. Okay, so again, we will be doing a complete guided meditation practice in our live coaching call, and I have a complete guided meditation for you that will do the quantum thank, the quantum gratitude. We'll do the quantum forgiveness, and then we'll add the powerful action all in one. We have to be able to enter this process gently. Because when you start to clear away those conditions where that boundary between self and source, you have so much access to power. Again, remember in module one where I showed you the picture of the Hoover Dam, that when you open the gates of the Hoover Dam enough, massive amounts of energy are generated. And so we have to be able to do this process consciously, patiently, delicately, so that when the energy starts to move, it doesn't fry our nervous system, number one, and it doesn't shut us down, number two. Okay, so the steps that I want you to practice between now and our coaching call is to remember to, number one, move into phase. Generate your coherence through the quantum gratitude, that thank you code. Number two, release all that isn't quantum, all that isn't divine, all that isn't of source, meaning forgive all errors of perception, including the error of separation. Go back and review what the definitions that you've given yourself, the limiting definitions that you've given yourself, and the limiting judgments that you've given to the world, to other people, and to yourself, and forgive them all. And the biggie, including the error of separation, that one is really, really, really important. And then thirdly, softly affirm, I am one with the Father. The Father and I are one. And if the word quantum feels better to you, use that word. And softly, softly say the quantum mind. And some people will use the Holy Spirit. And some people, some cultures, they'll use, instead of quantum mind, they'll use Holy Spirit. Instead of quantum mind, they'll use, Native American cultures will use, Father Spirit, or, different cultures have different words for it, but the quantum mind, we say the quantum mind guides my mind, my body, my words, my actions in all ways. The quantum mind guides my mind, my body, my words, and actions in all ways. And repeat that. And then end it with thank you. And you can do this with or without your music, with or without the guided meditation music that I provided for you. You can do this completely silently, whatever works best for you. But this is the way we warm this process up. And again, when I told you the story of how my body healed, remember I told you that it was massive amounts of energy. So much energy was moving through my system that I was sweating something that wasn't even sweat. It was oil. It was a viscous fluid. There was so much heat generated in my body. And so much energy moving through my body. And the only way that I knew to stay present in that was because I was told not to resist anything. The guidance when all of that stuff happened was don't resist it. But it doesn't need to be that energetically traumatic or energetically vigorous. It can be done very subtly, but you have to warm up first. Okay. Prepare your nervous system. And after you do that practice, just go about your day and notice what you notice. And what you're going to start to notice first, initially, will start to look for greater levels of peace and clarity. We'll notice a loss of drama in our inner landscape and in our outer landscape as well. Stuff that used to ruffle our feathers, it won't. It won't ruffle our feathers anymore. People that used to frustrate us, or piss us off, or tempt us to fly into powerlessness, those things we'll be able to handle them with a greater degree of grace, greater degree of inner calm. And through that greater degree of grace and inner calm, you'll notice that the situations don't become volatile. They don't become dramatic. They don't fall into patterns of old nuttiness. So this is what I want you to, before you start looking for miracles and manifestations in the external world, I want you to start to recognize these miracles in the inner world. Because remember what we say, miracles start in consciousness first. Miracles are going to start on the inside first. And so these are the things I want you to look for. Greater levels of peace and clarity, a loss of drama in your inner landscape and an ability to handle drama in the outer landscape. And your ability to handle things with grace and inner calm are going to start to amplify. When you start to recognize that, those are the markers of a successful quantum prayer. This is where I want you to begin. This is the warm-up part. And when you get good at that, then we amplify it. Okay? But I want you to start there. This is like if you're learning how to drive a car, for the first time, you're not going to jump into a Lamborghini the first time out of the driveway. It would be dangerous and reckless and probably not a whole lot of fun because there's just too much power. Okay, so we start here. Have fun with this process and notice what you notice. Be patient, experiment in what happens, and then we'll move into the, I'll give you the amplified quantum prayer when we meet for the coaching call. So your homework for this module is once again simple. Continue to examine your limits of self and the limiting patterns of I am that keep you stuck behind that quantum threshold. Be curious about the new diagram of self and soul and source that I showed you today, the circle within the circle within the circle, and get really familiar with how the truth is that you are and always have been quantum. You've just forgotten it. The original sin is that sin, that error of separation. We dissolve that thing, and boy, oh boy, watch how stuff becomes available to you. Continue your meditation that I provided with you last week, now adding the ultimate forgiveness of the illusion of separation. And start to practice your affirmations of the quantum, both in and out of your meditation. And just continue to notice what you notice on your inner landscape and in your outer reality. Keep a journal, make a note of your dreams, make a note of the serendipities, the synchronicities, the intuitions, the miraculous occurrences that you're noticing, and resist nothing. If emotions come up, if memories come up, if resistances come up, don't resist it. walk your way through it, forgive it, call on the power of grace to navigate you through it. This is a major shift in consciousness. Sometimes it will be really elegant and really easy. Other times it's going to feel like you are being pulled through a meat grinder. Both of those scenarios are okay. And especially important to remember that as you do this quantum work, it's going to start to influence your nervous system. So be sure you get a lot of rest, drink a lot of water, go out and walk in nature, take your shoes and socks off and ground while you walk around the house. Do your best to not look at social media or the news. Keep yourself as far away from the distortions of the 3D world as you possibly can. Right, because this, what's going to start to happen is you clear, when we come from a conditioned mind, the conditioned levels of self, that conditions our nervous system. Our nervous system then is only capable of moving the amount of energy that self has trained us to move. As we start to clear away these conditions, again, the analogy, spirit moves in direct proportion to how much room we give it. As you start to clear away these things, it's going to, your nervous system is going to need time to adjust. It's going to feel weird to your body to have access to these levels of power. So notice if you notice those things. Okay. Be sure to ground. Be sure not to flit out into the ether. Imagine if you find yourself feeling really energized, imagine that energy aiming it into the core of the earth and sending roots deep into the core of the earth. So that, again, just like an electrical current needs to be grounded so that that electricity has someplace to go, this is what we also want to be able to do in this, is to be able to be sure you're grounded. Eventually, your nervous system will go, oh, hey, okay, this is fine. It's just a new level of power. I'm used to it. But this is why, again, we warm up with it first. All right, so have fun with this module. Feel free to go back and listen to it again. Enjoy your doing your homework. Again, we'll be doing our live Q&A this Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific time via web call or telephone. If you have questions, you can't join me live, email me in advance at contact@SimoneWright. I'll answer your questions on the call. The call will be recorded. So as an addition, I will be posting the Christed, the gifts of Christmas, the Christed bonus. And then also we're having the Metaphysics of Christmas live coaching call. You guys are all invited to that as a part of this classroom. That will happen. I'll be sending you the email announcement for that. So stay tuned. That happens on Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So stay tuned for that announcement. So the first bonus will be added into the classroom later this week, and then the Metaphysics of Christmas will happen on Thursday. So stay tuned for that. So with that, guys, I'm going to say goodbye for now. Enjoy this module. It's not as long as the first module, but it's still, there's still a lot of information that I invite you to investigate and spend time with and ponder and be curious about and go out and have experiences with and notice what you notice. I can only show you the door. You've got to walk through it. I feel a little bit like Morpheus there in the Matrix, but it's true. I'll give you the tools. You go play with them. So with that, I say thank you guys so much for being with me in this teaching module. I'll see you in the coaching call on Saturday. Have a great week. Enjoy the homework and enjoy becoming quantum. I'll see you soon. Bye.